Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Romans chapter number 8, verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, and we all can write a book on our infirmities. We all got problems. You say, I've not. Hang on. It won't be as long. You'll be as old as Brother Charles back there. And you'll have problems. Amen. So the Bible said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession. Give me the next two words. With groanings which cannot be uttered. I have found that verse true in my life, even in just last recent days. Have you ever been to the point that you just didn't know what to say when you're praying? You're so heavy about something. Well, when you get there, I promise you there's somebody that's praying for you. When I was in the hospital with corona, Brother Jimmy Millsap called me one morning. I didn't answer the phone but two or three times the whole 8 days I was in there. But that day I knew he was going to call, so I answered the phone. And basically what he said was this. He read me that verse right there. And that probably did as much to help me as anything that day. Aren't you glad there's somebody making intercession for you? Then he says in verse 27, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the next three words. According to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the call according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. How do you get predestination, heaven and hell, out of that? How do they come up with the fact that you're predestinated to go to heaven or hell, one out of that verse? That is not what that verse is talking about. Our Calvinist is wrong about that. We're predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. God never predestinated nobody to go to hell. Are y'all hearing me? Notice the next verse. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Every bit of that's in present tense. You say, what does that mean? That means if you're saved, you're going to heaven. That means if you're saved, you're going to heaven whether you want to go or not. You're going to heaven, amen. Notice the next verse. What shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these things? Hath God be, the next two words, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up, next three words. How shall he, are there three people in here and read? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession, next two words, for us. Thank you for sending you to be seated tonight. I'm interested tonight in all these verses as I look at them tonight. But I'm really interested in verse 31. Notice again in verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Before, Brother Robert, I ever got back to the interstate last night, God spoke to my heart about that verse. When I got home last night and went to bed, I thought about that verse, and probably 15 times during the night, I woke up and that verse was on my heart. If God be for you, hallelujah, who can be against you? Now, I want to say this before I get into my message tonight. I really enjoy reading what others had to say about Romans chapter number 8. I found out that Romans chapter number 8 tonight is a well, and may I say a deep well, of spiritual truths tonight. And as you study this tonight, you'll find it's one of those chapters that will inspire you. It's one of those chapters that will encourage you. It's one of those chapters that will pick you up and make you go another day. When you read this chapter here tonight, I realize tonight all the Bible's inspired and all the Bible's great. But there's something about certain passages of the Bible that just does something for me. And every time I read Romans chapter 8, when I get done, I want to go bear hunting with a switch. Are y'all listening to me tonight? What a chapter of Scripture tonight. It's like Psalm 23. You can't read it without being encouraged. And I like what old Dr. J. Vernon McGee said. J. Vernon McGee said this about Romans 8. He said he felt total unworthy to enter into Romans chapter number 8 because it's so glorious and so wonderful tonight. He said every time he reads Romans chapter 8, he thinks he feels like Moses felt when he stood at the burning bush and God said, take off your shoes, for the ground you stand on is holy ground. May I say to you tonight, thank God, Romans 8. Man, it's holy ground tonight. Hear me tonight, it's holy ground tonight. Another writer said this. He said, if all the word of God was a ring, he said Romans chapter 8 probably would be one of the sparkling points in that ring. And how true that is tonight. You see, this chapter starts out with no condemnation, and it winds up with no separation. Now that makes me want to run down to the cross and then back. It starts out with no condemnation, and it winds up, thank God, with no separation. And have you ever thought about what I said here tonight? Paul comes forth and breaks forth in verse 31 with a tremendous question. He's shown us what God has done for us, what God has done in us, and what God is going to do. If God be for you, hallelujah. I can't help but shout when I read that. I can't help but rejoice when I read that tonight. Let me just say it this way. We all can number multitudes of things that's against us tonight. You know, I'm not against taking the vaccine, the shot. I don't preach against that. You want to take it, you take it. If you don't want to take it, don't take it. That's your business. I don't think it's the fact of the vaccine that bothers people too much. I think it's the fact of us being made to take it. And I'll say this to you tonight. There's a lot of things against you and I this evening. Our flesh is against us. How the world is against us. How the devil is against us tonight. But listen to this tonight. If God be for you. Hey, are you listening to me tonight? If God be for you tonight, who can be against you tonight? Now, to say this tonight, the question that's asked, the Bible never asks a question. What the Word of God doesn't always answer that question. If God be for you, who can be against you? What the verse simply means is this tonight. Nothing can successfully overthrow a child of God that's walking with God. Y'all didn't get what I just said. I said nothing can successfully overthrow a child of God that's walking with the Lord. You tell them they're going to die and they'll smile at you. You're not going to scare them with heaven. And nothing can successfully overthrow a child of God that's walking with the Lord this evening. Now let me say this, what it don't say. It does not say this tonight. If you live for God, there'll not be things against you. I found out a long time ago, if you live for God, everybody's not going to like you. Somebody will stick their tongue out at you once in a while. And I want to say this to you tonight. How about if God be for you, if God be for you, if God be for you, who can be against you? I thought about this when I read this today. When you look in Romans chapter number 8, you'll find in this chapter, and I'm not going to preach on it, there are several things against you and I. For instance, in verse number 1, you'll find tonight in verse number 1, a condemnation. It's against you and I. Verse number 2, sin. It's against you and I. Verse number 8, you'll find the flesh. It's against you and I. And the mountain preacher said, that flesh will kill you. The flesh is against you and I. Verse 18, suffering is against you and I. Verse 21, corruption is against you and I. Verse 22, pain is against you and I. And also in verse 26, our infirmities is against you and I. But the verse says tonight, and by the way, when you write all that down, go ahead and write the devil on top of that. Because the devil's against you. Hello? Whose side are you on? I said the devil's against you tonight. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'll promise you, dear friend, if you're living for God, hey, the devil's against you tonight. I got some good news. If God be for you, if God be for you, who in the world can be against you tonight? Nothing can successfully overthrow a child of God that's walking with the Lord. It's almost like, when you look at this, it's almost like the Apostle Paul is bragging. And I don't know if you can picture him in your mind or not. Get this picture. Short, probably hunchback, probably had on a pair of glasses about as thick as a Coca-Cola bottle. Y'all don't even know what that is. You remember them 6-ounce Coca-Cola bottles? That's the best record is. And feeble, sickly, and I can see this little big man of God standing on the end of this tiptoe saying to the Roman side, if God be for you, thank God, who'd be against you this evening? I don't think I've ever told this here. I was years ago when I was passing over the mountain back in the 70s, they was trying to vote in liquor by the drink or brown by something about liquor. And I don't care how you look at it, it's wrong. Liquor, beer, wine. I said liquor, beer, wine. I said wine. I said wine. Are you listening to me? But they tried to vote in something in our county. And I know we'll forget this. We, the pastors in our area in Wilkes County, we got together and decided it was going to have a county-wide meeting and try to figure out a way to vote down the liquor by the drink or whether it was brown bag or whatever it was. I remember we announced that and we rented the YMCA in North Wilkesburg, or Wilkesburg. And that night there was probably 700-800 people there. And man, what a service. And I never will forget, we started the service that night. The moderator said, Brother Rowe is going to come and pray for us. Brother Rowe was about this tall, black man, bald-headed, had pastored the Damascus Baptist Church in Cairo. And anybody know where that's at? Anyhow, you know where it's at, don't you? And I know we'll forget that man of God. He walked down the aisle that night, stepped up on the platform. And that little big man of God bowed his head. And about 30 seconds in his prayer, I cheated. You say, what'd you do? I opened my eyes. And I looked through my fingers because I really thought Jesus was standing right beside of him. I never heard nobody get hold of God in my life way that man of God did. And when he got done praying, that big old Damascus choir, black choir, got up to sing. And they got to singing when the roll is called up yonder. I'll be there. On about the second verse, they got to doing this. And boy, on about the third verse, they got to waving their hands. And on about the fourth verse, there's about 500-600 white folk doing the same thing. Are y'all hearing me? And but here's what I started to say. That week, that night, we had an old preacher by the name of Shelton Jones. He comes on WPAQ every day at 10:30. Or used to, I guess he still does. He's dead, been dead many years. He's fought a many a liquor battle. And he's our keynote speaker that night. But before he got up, there was a Christian judge. That was there, and the Christian judge got up and He greeted the folk and said, I'm on your side. Said, we're praying this thing will get defeated. But that Christian judge made this statement. I must let you know that we are in the minority. Now, when he said that, it was like sticking a pin in a balloon. The spirit of that meeting just went, huh. Well, he got done, and Brother Jones come to the pulpit. Brother Jones, I never will forget him. He didn't say it's good to be here. He didn't say thank you for inviting me to come. He walked to the podium, looked over top of his glasses at Judge sitting on the front row. He said, Judge, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're on our side. But he said, I beg the differ with you. He said, you're never in the minority when you got God. Are y'all hearing me preach tonight? I say, if God be for you, who can be against you? Has it ever dawned on you that you and God are a majority anytime, anywhere, in any situation? I feel God. Are y'all hearing me? I say, has it ever dawned on you that you and God are a majority anytime, any? Lord, that makes me want to do something for God. I said, has it ever dawned on you that you and God are a majority anytime, anywhere, and any situation? How Paul is trying to encourage these folk and tell them, hey, look, man, if God be for you, if God be for you, if God be for you, who can be against you? Don't ask your question. I got 14 more minutes. Don't ask your question. How do we know, ladies? How do we know? How in the world these good-looking ladies, every one of them sitting on the front row, how'd that ugly thing get on here? Don't y'all lie, y'all ain't much better off. Are you listening? But don't ask you a question. If I asked you this question tonight, how do you know God's for you? What would you say? If we go down this side and come up this side, and ask every individual in this room tonight, how do you know God's for you? What would you say tonight? Let me take about 13 minutes out of the Bible and show you tonight how I know God's for me. Look back in chapter 8, verse number 2. Bible said in chapter 8, watch verse number 2. Chapter 8, watch this verse. You go with me. Chapter 8, look at verse number 2. Verse number 3. For what the law cannot do, him that is weak through the flesh. Nothing wrong with the law, whole lot wrong with the flesh. Y'all get that? For what the law cannot do is being weak through the flesh. God sending his own son, and the likeness, not sin, but the likeness, that was mine and yours, the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. You know why I know God's for me? I know God's for me because he gave me his son. Hey, 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 are y'all hearing me? For what the law could not do in his weak through the flesh, God sending his own son. Hey, are y'all hearing me? Look also in another verse. I like this verse. Look at verse 31. Bible says in verse 32 it is, he that spared not his own what? Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us? Hey, do you get the idea that God's for you? God, hey, hey, God give his son. God give heaven's best. God give heaven's joy. God give the best there was in heaven. You and I could be saved by the grace of God. Let me illustrate that. I have two sons. One's in heaven. One's on earth. And the one that's on earth is here tonight. Y'all believe that? Say amen. But I'll tell you this about the one that's here tonight. He's not always been a preacher, and I'm not going into everything. He's not always been a preacher. He's not always been a saint, but he's always been my boy. And as far as I know, he never smoked any juju weed. As far as I know. As far as I know, he never drank any Bud Dumber. As far as I know. As far as I know, he never drank any Miller Lowlight. As far as I know. As far as I know, he never got out in the world and did sinful stuff before he got saved. As far as I know, he didn't. And I know when he got saved. I remember the night he got saved. But I'll tell you this. There was a time. Now, y'all not going to believe this about your pastor. There was a time. He didn't do any of that stuff I said. Did you? I'm moving. Listen. He didn't do any of that as far as I know. But there was a time in his life. He was just kind of a smart aleck. There was times if I felt like that he felt like that he knew more than I did. There was times that I felt like that he felt like he knew more than the preacher. There was times that I felt like that he felt like he knew more than the church. There was times that I felt like he knew more than God. Now, I know in Surrey County, teenagers are not that way. I know that. But in Yadkin County, back in them days, teenagers had a streak of rebellion in them. And here's what I want to say to you tonight. But when my boy was at his worst, and I don't have anything bad to say, man, he never caused me any sleepless nights. Many. But listen to me. To my knowledge, he never done any of that. But even when he's at his worst, and even when his attitude wasn't right, and even when I felt like he knew more than everybody else, that's the way teenagers are, how when he was at his lowest point, there's not a one of you in this room I'd give him for. Y'all ain't getting what I'm preaching. I said there's not a one of you in this room I would have given him for. Don't tell you what God done one day. Oh, hear me tonight. God looked down through the telescope of time and saw a world that was going to come, rebel against God, and trample the blood of the Son of God under the feet. And God still give his Son blood shed before the foundation of the world. You say, preacher, that bother you? No, that thrills me. That's the love of God, man. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, how Christ died for us. And I want to say this to you tonight. I just kind of feel like God's for me tonight. You know why? Because he gave me his Son. Hallelujah. Hey, thank God. He gave me his Son tonight. Well, 13 and a half minutes to go. I want to say number two. I know he's for me because he gave me his Son. But then I want to say number two quickly tonight. I know he's for me tonight because he gave me his Spirit. No less than 19 times in Romans chapter 8. You read it when you get home. No less than 19 times in Romans chapter number 8. He talks about the Spirit or the Holy Spirit. And I'll say this to you tonight. I know he's for me, but not because he didn't only give me his Son. He gave me his Spirit. That night I got saved by the grace of God. He come on the inside, hallelujah. He's living there tonight. If you study Romans 8, and I don't have time to preach it, but if you study Romans chapter number 8, verse number 9, he's come to indwell us. You say, well, what's the difference in him and the other one? They don't keep house the same way. He's come to indwell us. Verse number 10, he imparts life. Verse number 11, I got to read verse 11, won't take but a minute to look at it. Verse number 11, he guarantees our resurrection. Watch this verse. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. By the way, that's not the rapture. That's your daily walk with God. That mortal body is right now. That's God helping you right now. Hey, somebody helping me right now. Hey, somebody keeping me from cussing right now. Hey, somebody keeping me from lying right now. Hey, somebody keeping me going to the world tonight. Right now, thank God, he lives in my heart. He guarantees our resurrection. Oh, I love it. I look at verse 14. Yeah, I can't skip verse 14. Look at verse 14. The Bible said, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. They are the sons of God. He's the ever-present God. I like verse 16. Look at verse 16. Bible said in verse number 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are, that we what? A-R-E, what does that word say it loud? Are. That's not going to be or has been. That's right now. How are saved right now. I said again, I are saved right now. I hope my English teacher's watching. I are saved right now. Look at the verse. How the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are. Listen to me. I'm saved right now. I'm going to heaven right now. I'm saved right now. I'm not going to be. I'm saved right now. No less than 19 times in Romans chapter 8, he talks about the Spirit of God. Verse 26, he helps our infirmities. So I don't say to you tonight, I know God's for me because he didn't only give me a son, but he gave me a spirit. And I will tell you, he's living in my heart tonight. Can I say something real quick? I don't understand this. And I'm not going to kill the service. But I do not understand this. I don't understand how some people do what they do and it never bothers them. I hear preachers use language in pulpits. I will not use that kind of language. I did that before I got saved. It's wrong to take the Lord God's name in vain. And you don't have to use the word D to do that. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, are you hearing me tonight? I don't understand that. I don't understand folk, you know, this do any old way, live any old way, say anything, do any old way, stay out of church, come when they want to whatever. Never does bother them. I'll tell you one thing, buddy. When I get down on my knees and get ready to pray, if there's any little bitty thing wrong, it lights up like a highlight in a computer. I don't know if it does you that well or not. I mean, I just get down and get just pray. And if I've been short at somebody, I've got down to pray before, and the Lord said, no, you're wasting my time, yours too. I said, Lord, what's wrong? He said, you know what's wrong. You know how short you was with your wife. And I said, yeah, but Lord, if you remember the origin of that, she started it. Are you listening? It don't make any difference. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God lives in you tonight. Hey, we're independent Baptists. You say, well, that's what Pentecostal believe. Hey, Baptists believe that tonight. We got baptized by the Holy Ghost, and now we got saved. And he lives in my heart. Somebody said, you speak in tongues. I spoke in a new one. I don't look, I don't cry, I don't cheat, lie, and cuss no more. Amen. Hear me tonight. I know he for me because he gave me his spirit. Number three. 12 minutes. Number three. I know he's for me not because he gave me his son. I know he's for me because he gave me his spirit. But you know, I know God's for me tonight. Look at this verse. Look at verse 14. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Watch this verse. And of children, heirs of God, let's read the verse. And children, they're heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be we suffer, we shall reign. You know why I know God's for me? I know God's for me tonight because of what he's sharing with me. You say, what is he sharing with you? Everything. I'm an heir to God and a joint heir with Christ. So I'm just a poor old Christian. There ain't no such thing. You're somebody going somewhere. And I'll tell you tonight, listen, I know God's for me tonight because what he's sharing with me. Hear me real good. You're an heir to God and a joint heir with Christ. That means tonight, and by the way, listen to this. You don't grow into that. That happened the second you got saved. Somebody said, well, that happens when I go through the new converts class. No, it doesn't. Somebody said, it happened after I got baptized. No, it doesn't. Somebody said, it happened after I've been through Bible class. Oh, no, it doesn't. The very second you got saved, you got hooked up and your name got put down in heaven and you're an heir to God and a joint heir with Christ. That means everything he's got is yours. And if that ever dawns on you, well, I'll catch you at the north end of Low Gap. Hey, are y'all hearing me preach tonight? Listen, I know he's for me tonight because what he's sharing with me. Think about that tonight. And I like verse 15. You see, when you got saved, you got adopted. You got placed. That word adopt means placed as an adult child. It doesn't mean that you grow into it. It doesn't mean that you mature in your life and you become. No, you got placed as an adult child, and everything God's got become yours right then. Son, hallelujah. That's enough to make a tired Baptist shout. Amen. Are you listening? I know he's for me. And look at verse 15. For we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption, placed as an adult son. And you can't disinherit him. Amen. Look at the rest of the verse. the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Papa, Father. That's not irreverence. That's what the word means. Papa. He's my Father. Abba, Father. And let me illustrate this way. Let's just say that Brother Shane, Brother Stan and Miss, what's your name? Shannon. Let's just say Brother Stan and Miss Sharon, what's your name? Shannon. Says tomorrow, preacher, we like you and Miss Shannon. And Miss Shannon, we've been praying about this. And I want you to meet us tomorrow down in Mount Airy at Lawyer Campbell's office. And I say, why? And Brother Stan, Miss Shannon says, don't worry about it. Just meet us there at 11 o'clock tomorrow. Well, my wife and I drive down tomorrow at 11 o'clock, Lawyer Campbell's office. And we go in and we go back in that little room. I know where that room's at. And go back there, not that I have anything, but I do know where that room's at because I bought some property. And they take us back there and sit in that big old table. And Lawyer Campbell pulls out Brother Stan and Miss Shannon's will. And here's what it says. Lawyer Campbell looks at my wife and I says that Brother Stan and Miss Shannon desires to change their will today. And what they want to do is put you and Miss Jan as an heir and a joint heir to everything we've got. Can I ask y'all a question? If they did that, would you get the idea they kind of like me? Y'all ain't hooking up with me. The day you got saved, you didn't grow into it. You didn't get baptized into it. The day you got saved, you become an heir to God and a joint heir with Christ, and everything He's got is yours. What time did y'all say be there? Well, anyhow, are you listening? I'm trying to tell you something tonight. If God be for you, Lord, have mercy my soul. You'll say, boy, I'd like to be a millionaire. You are. You are. You just ain't seen it all yet. Well, you're not a millionaire. You one of them tea deals. What do you call them? T. Trim. What's Mr. Biden trying to do? Well, no, there ain't nobody knows what he's trying to do. Listen to me. I'm just trying to tell you something tonight. Listen to me. You become an heir to God and a joint heir with Christ. I know God's for me, thank God. But call what He's sharing with me tonight. Number two, number three, number four, 11 minutes to go. I know God's for me. This is the King James. What? Okay. I know God's for me tonight. Not because He gave me a son. Not because He gave me a spirit. Not because of what He's sharing with me. But I know God's for me tonight because of what He's showing me. You say, what's He showing you? Look in your Bible. Look at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. I want to tell you what the verse don't say. The verse does not say everything happens to you is good. It don't say that. It don't say that. It don't say everything happens to you is good. But it does say this tonight. If you love God, He says in the verse, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Look up here and listen to me. If you've got a horseshoe over your door at home, you ain't going to believe what I'm getting ready to say. If you come in that door and won't go out that door, you're not going to believe what I'm getting ready to say. If you're driving down the road and a black cat runs across the road, you got a 9mm in the dash. I did not mean that. Boy, you got to be careful what you say now. He'll put you in jail. But listen to this. You're driving down the road. And this happened to me. I was driving down the road and had an independent Baptist preacher in the car with me. This is God's truth. Brother Davis, you probably know this preacher. You don't like him, but you probably know him. But listen to this. It wasn't me. But listen to this. I'm driving down the road, an independent Baptist preacher sitting on the other side. A black cat runs across the road. And that Cracker Jack goes to doing this. I said, what are you doing? He said, did you not see that cat? I said, what in the devil's this got to do with it? Listen to me. Things don't just happen if you're saved. All things work together for good to them who are the called according to His promise, according to His purpose. Listen to this. Everything happens to you is not good. Miss Christie, I need some help. I'm going to make a meatloaf. To have a good meatloaf, you need about 5 pounds of hamburger meat. Y'all be quiet. Do you not put meatloaf in a... I mean, do you not put hamburger meat in a meatloaf? I want a big one. Number one, to have a good meatloaf, you got to have... I want 5 pound hamburger meat. Now I want to ask you a question. How many of you like to take raw hamburger meat and just squeeze it in your hand? You're sick, Matthew. You're sick. You people that eat steaks with blood running out of them. Son, you're not going to heaven. I'm going to tell you that right now. Sick! Raw hamburger meat for normal people is not good. Number two, if I'm going to make a meatloaf, I need some ketchup. Do you put ketchup? All right, I'm going to get me about 3 or 4 pretty good sized bottles of ketchup. You do put ketchup in, don't you? Okay, ketchup. How many of y'all like to take ketchup and just take the lid off and just go? I know a guy that puts ketchup on his eggs. He's sick. They got places for people like that. Ketchup by itself is not good. But if you're going to have a good meatloaf, you need to put some onions in it. So I want to get me 4 or 5 onions about this size. How many of y'all like just take an onion by itself? God bless you, Miss Jessica. I'm going to pray for you more than I ever have in my life. Is that your son-in-law? That's funny. That is funny. Onions by themselves are not. Now, I love onions. I want onions, everything I eat. I like onions. But I never have this. I've heard people talk about making an onion sandwich. Dear Lord. But if you're going to have a good meatloaf, you need to put some. We got to get 6 or 7. I don't like green pepper by themselves. But I put green pepper in that. And if you're going to have a good meatloaf, you need some salt. Get you a box of salt. Salt by itself is not good. What else? Oh, got to have pepper. I mean, black pepper. Black pepper. Okay. All right. What else? Oh, yeah, it's good stuff. I thought that's ketchup. Okay, tomato sauce. What else? Eggs. Stick a pea and suck it out. That would gag a maggot. Have you ever sucked an egg? Just stick a raw egg. They're doing like this. What else? Got to have crackers. What else? Let's stop at that. That's probably enough. Now I'm going to take that meatloaf. I forgot it all mixed up. One of those things by themselves are not good. But you mix it all up. I turn the oven on to 400 degrees, stick it in there for 2 hours, and son, listen to this. In 2 hours, I'm on. Do you not cook it? Huh? You pull that thing out, you're going to see something like you ain't never seen. I got to get off this crazy stuff. Listen to me. One of those things by themselves are not good. But you know what God does in our lives? I don't understand that. I don't understand that. I had things happen in my life last year I don't understand. I've had things happen in my family this year I didn't understand. I've had things happen to my great-grandbabies I don't understand. I don't understand that, but I know this tonight. When I can't track him, I can trust him, because he always does right, thank God. Oh, he takes it all and puts it together and mixes it up. It's for our good and his glory, thank God. I know God's for me because of what he's showing me. Then I want to close by saying tonight, I know God's for me because of his security. Look at verse 35, and I'm done. Because his security. I'll say this before I read it. There's nothing listen to me, hear me good, write her down. There's nothing in time or eternity will ever separate you from the love of God. There's nothing in heaven. There's nothing in earth. There's nothing in hell that will ever separate you from the love of God. There's no force, there's no demon, there's no evil that will ever be able to separate you from the love of God. Look at verse 35, now I'm done. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? There'll never be a time he'll quit loving you. And there'll never be a time you'll not be his if you're saved. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now look what he does. Shall tribulation, that's daily activities. Tribulation, distress. No, we're too blessed to be distressed. Persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. A conqueror is somebody that's won the victory. A more than a conqueror is somebody done it for you. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life or angels or principalities or powers or things present or things to come nor height nor depth or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I'll show you what Paul does, and I'm done. Paul does three things in them verses. Verse 35, he looks at the past. All verse 35 is the past. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? No, I done been through that. Distress? No, he said, I done been through that. Persecution? No, I done been through that. Famine? No, I done been through that. Nakedness, peril, sword? No, I done been through every bit of that. Verse 35 has to do with the past. Verse 38 has to do with the present. Look at verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, or fallen angels, or principalities, or powers. That has to do with the present. The past didn't separate him. The present's not going to separate him. And I got some news for you. Look at verse 39. Look at the latter part of verse 38. Nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brother Stan, put that in the devil's pipe and tell him to smoke it. Are y'all hearing me preach tonight? He took the past, he took the present, and he took the future. And he wound it up by saying in verse 38, or latter part of verse 38, nor things to come, just in case I forgot anything. Just in case I forgot anything, or things to come shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Has it dawned on you lately that God's for you?